All right. I want to go back to the book of Ephesians again this morning. It's been quite a while since we've been there. And I've been asking the Lord when to go back, and feel like this is a good time this morning to go back to that. I've entitled this message, Walking Like Family. Sorry about that. And I want to start out by reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Now, let's just back up and notice what was going on in chapter 4, the very end. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, thanks him, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, I want to back up as I start here. I want to back up and look at Psalm 103, the first verse or so there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, all the things that he pours out on us, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Notice the word all. Who forgives all thine iniquities. These are benefits that God is blessing us with, sharing with us. Okay? He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. All. And again, remember that healing only comes through the Lord. Doesn't matter how that comes, when that comes, healing only comes through the Lord. So he heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. We are all bound for destruction, and he redeems our life from that. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's such a beautiful thought. Just imagine, I want you to just imagine here for a minute that you have been given a literal crown by God. He's placed on your head a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies. That's that's actually true. That's what he's saying there. How would that make you feel to know that God has placed on your head a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies? I think it would be very similar to how Joseph felt when his dad put that coat of many colors on him. What was the representation? What was Joseph to feel from that coat of many colors? Love.
Special.
And special. And what are we to feel when God places on our heads a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies? Now, let's go back into Ephesians. And let's go back to the very beginning. And I want us to get this, because this is so key to understanding where we're at here this morning. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in a love relationship. They have always been in that love relationship from eternity past. That's always been their relationship. They are complete in that relationship. There is nothing that they need beyond themselves. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Spirit loves the Son, the Spirit loves the Father loves the Son loves the Spirit. That it's a totally love relationship. And so Paul comes along and he starts to write to us, to the church at Ephesus and to us. And he's bringing up these truths about what God has done. Why? Let's just go through our questions here real quick. How do we display family likeness? How do we represent our family? What are some ways that we display a family likeness? Okay, how we talk. You know, we might have an accent, an inflection in our voice that's very similar.
How we look.
How we look, our features. What else?
Our last name.
Okay. Any others? Our mannerisms. We do certain things and they say, oh, yeah, I see your dad in you. Or I see your mom in you. That's the way they did. Okay? So there's all kinds of ways that we display a family likeness. Why do we display family likeness?
It's in our DNA.
It's in our DNA. It's part of us. It's what happens within us, right? God has made it that way. How is our understanding of God so important in how we walk right, in how we walk out our life? Why is our understanding of God so important in how we walk? And let me just explain that by saying, for those of you who might have forgotten, that Paul used the first three chapters of Ephesians to talk about God and what He has done for us, how He has poured out and just reached within Himself and passed out benefits to us that are just unbelievable. He's called us to be His children. He's redeemed us. He's adopted us. He's made us His own. He's given us His own name. He's given us His inheritance. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us riches. He's given us His power. He's just made available all these things to us. So it's so important for us to get this whole picture of what God has done, who He is, and what He's provided, in order that we are able to walk properly. So the first half of the book, He's teaching us what God has done. The second half of the book, He's teaching us how we walk because of that. So we keep seeing this word walk come up in the last half of the book. So why did Paul spend so much time showing us who God is in order to show us how we need to walk? You know, why didn't he start out in the very beginning? Why didn't he start out and say, "Now you guys need to walk like this. You need to walk like this. You need to walk like this." Why did Paul not do that? That'd be legalism? Okay, and I'm not quite sure that's why Paul did like that. But it's true that we tend to get focused on the do's instead of the whys. I'm sorry. Oh, because what's inside is going to come out, right? We can deal with all kinds of stuff. And we try to push it down, we try to forget about it, we try to act like it's not there, whatever. But eventually it comes out, right? Because there's something going on inside of us. So that's why Paul was helping us to understand that how we understand God and how we understand what God has done for us and is doing for us, and wants to do for us, how that changes the way we live. How that affects what we do and how we walk. Okay? That's so important for us to get hold of here. There's something that came, a verse that came into my mind as I was thinking about this whole thing of us, how we walk. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16. What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Don't you know you're the temple of the living God? God says, and this was, he was talking in the Old Testament like this, but Paul is bringing it up for us. God says, "Behold, I will walk in them." I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not. That verse struck me just really, really amazingly. God says, "I will walk in." We talk about Him abiding or dwelling in us as His tabernacle. But He says, "I'm going to walk in you." So God is walking in us to walk out His character, His likeness, His image. And that's so important for us. That's so key for us. That's so something that we need to take hold of. God is walking in me. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. What an important thought. What a valuable thought. What a compelling thought, motivating thought. God is walking in me. You know, it's kind of like a parent with that little child. You know, you take that little child and you stand them there and you put their feet on your feet and you hold their hands and you start to walk. What's happening? I am walking in them. They don't know how to walk. They haven't learned. They haven't discovered all the things that have to happen. And so I take them and I walk in them. And through that, they learn to walk. Right? That's the picture I get when I look at that verse. God says, you know what? I'm going to walk in them. Now, let's go on here in this passage. There's three things that I want us to notice. The first one is in verse 2. Walk in love. In verse 1, he says, as dear children. In verse 2, he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. I want you to think about this. There's two aspects here to this walking in love. The first one is that we walk in God's love. We walk in God's love. As dear children, as children that are loved, as children that are cared for, as children that are given everything that they could possibly be given for their benefit. God loves us as dear children. Let me ask you something. Is that how you see God in your life? As a father, and you're his dear child. That he cares so much about you. That he loves you so much. That he wants the very best for you. Is that how I see God, my Father? You know what? If I don't see God like that, I'm going to have an awful time walking in love. I'm just going to have an awful time. It's going to be so difficult. And so I've talked about this before, how we need to see how much the Father loves us. So there's that aspect. We need to see the Father's love for us. And then that love needs to be shed abroad in our hearts, shed abroad in our lives. And we need to walk in love because of what Christ has done for us. And so we back up into chapter 4 there where he says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And now he says, walk in love as dear children, walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So he's telling us, look, you need to know how much God loves you, and then you need to live that love out in life. That needs to be lived out. It needs to be a reflection of who that Father is and his DNA, his character within you. I just read an article just the other day about a Muslim that came to Christ because of the radical love that a Christian showed to him. Radical love. And I read a number of stories, and I am always impressed and amazed how people are living out the love of God in very, very difficult situations. You know why cults prosper? What do you think is the main reason why a cult prospers? People feel they belong. They feel loved. They feel cared for. It might be a twisted thing. It definitely is not the love of God. But they feel like they are cared about. Like they matter. And what Paul is sharing with us here is that as dear children of God, we need to share the love of God with others so that they want to come to this Father. So that they long for that relationship. So that they can understand and experience. That's important for us. So we need to first of all know the love of the Father. And that's what Paul spent the first three chapters talking about. And in chapter 4, he says, walk worthy. In other words, represent the family well. And then walk in unity. Walk together. Working together for the good of the kingdom. And now walking in love. So he's laying out for us a number of things that come about as we understand God's love, and as we dwell in that, and as we appreciate that, and as we walk that out, as it becomes part of our lives. 2 John verse 6, this is love, that we walk after His commandments. And this is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. In love. Now, we're to love God and we're to love man. That's the first and second commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment that we're to walk in. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You see how love, our hearts growing together in love, actually helps people to understand the mystery of God. That's so important. It's something that we need to continually look at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. 1 John chapter 4, 16 to 19. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Pretty simple statement, isn't it? God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Oh, that goes back to 2 Corinthians there. God walking in us. God dwells in him, and he dwells in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are representing, we are picturing God in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, secondly, now, I just want to say one more thing about those verses there. You'll notice there's a number of things that he talks about that we don't want to be involved in. And the point there is that they are not the way this family works. Okay? Jesus told the Pharisees, the reason you do the things you do is because you're of your father, the devil. So all of this unloving stuff that he was talking about there in those verses in the first part of chapter 5, all that unloving stuff is not to be part of us because it's not part of the family. Understand that? And so we see those things, and he's just bringing them in and saying, look, this is not part of the family. Don't be a part of this. If you are, you better stop and look and see what's going on. Now, in verse 8 then, he says, walk as children of light. You were sometimes darkness. We all, and go back into chapter 2, chapter 3 there, he talks about this, how we walked in darkness, how we walked in our own ways and did our own thing. There's only one thing that will dissipate darkness. What is that? Light. Do you know that darkness cannot overtake light? Darkness cannot put light out. It does not matter how dark it is in this room. If you come in here at night and that little blue light in the bottom of the projector is on, it's going to shine, right? It does not matter how dark it is. That light is not going to be put out. In fact, what actually happens? You can hardly see that light now, but what happens if it's the only light in the room in the middle of the night? It shows, doesn't it? The darker the night, the brighter the light. And so he's talking here to us that we need to walk as children of light. We have the light. We are the light. And we need to walk as children of light, not walking in darkness. Now, Jesus talked about this. Why do men love darkness rather than light? Their deeds are evil. And why is darkness preferred for evil deeds? Okay, it hides, doesn't it? Darkness hides. You go out here and start looking around in the middle of the night, and there's on a dark night, no moon. You don't see a lot of things, or you don't see them clearly. They look distorted, whatever. But you let the sun shine on that, and all of a sudden, everything is there to see. One of the things that happens in my business is in certain light, metal can look really shiny. But you take it out and you put it in the sun, the bright light, and all of a sudden you start to see, oh, there's scratches, there's stuff that's not, it just starts, the light displays, okay? As children of God, we are to long for that. Do you pray? Let me ask you something. Do you pray that God will show you your heart? Do you ever pray that? You start praying that, He'll show you. And you know what? Most of the time, it's not a pretty picture. But as we see that, we're able to bring those deeds to the light, and we're able to find freedom, we're able to find hope, we're able to find help, because no longer are those things hidden in the darkness. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, Jesus connects light and life and love all within himself. Light and life and love are three things that Jesus combines in himself. John 12:35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If we're walking in darkness, we don't know where we are headed. But when we walk in the light, we're able to see. And we're able to know what's going on. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So light is also an armor. It's a protection for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. And then 1 John 2:11 talks about this in relation to each other. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I know how it goes. If I ask you today if you hate anybody, everybody's going to say no. But let's look at it with light and darkness. If we keep a person in darkness in our mind, in our heart, where are they? Out of the light, right? So when things are brought to the light, that's when there's change. And one of the things that happens within us is we put people in darkness. We just don't go there. You say, do you hate anybody? Oh, no, no, no. What about so-and-so? No, no, I don't hate them. Well, you don't have anything to do with them. You won't even talk to them. You won't talk kindly about them. What's all that? That's darkness. That's darkness. And when we go there, we shut off the light in our life, and we are not able to walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Don't walk in darkness. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Is in darkness. And Paul is saying, look, We talk about God's love. We talk about God's light. We talk about all of these beautiful, wonderful things. How's it working out for you? How's that happening? When we start looking at how we walk, what's really going on? Are we walking in love? Are we walking as children of light? Or are we walking in darkness? Not quite sure where we're going with this deal. There's so much more here that could be said. But again, in this section, he lists a number of things. And notice that those things are walking in darkness. So he's saying, look, God has done all of this for you. He's just given you all of this. Now, as his child, the one that he dearly loves, the one that he's daily loaded with benefits, the one he's crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, walk in love. Walk as children of light. And the last one there is in verse 15 and 16. Walk circumspectly. Oh, a few more verses that I had there is walking of children of light. The last one then is walk circumspectly. We need to walk intently focused. You see, he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. How does a fool walk? What's the implication? What's the thought that he's giving there? How does a fool walk? Carelessly. It doesn't matter to him what happens. It doesn't matter to him where he's headed. It just, you know, it's haphazard. It's not productive. It's just everything that we don't want, right? So he says, don't walk like fools. Walk circumspectly. Circumspect is an intense focus. And what do you think Paul is thinking that we need to be intently focused on? What would you think? Are we supposed to be intently focused on our feet and where we're walking? Whether we're walking in love, whether we're walking in the light? Is that what we're to be intently focused on? The Father. That's what our focus is supposed to be on. Walk circumspectly. You know what? If we do anything else, we're going to be in a mess. You know when problems start to come into my life and start to make a mess? When I stop looking at Father. When I stop looking at Father. As long as I keep my focus on Him, intense focus on Him, then I'm able to walk in the light. I'm able to walk in love. I'm able to walk in unity. I'm able to walk in a way that's worthy of the family. All of those things. And so it's so important, and that's why Paul takes so much time doing that in the first part of this book. Helping us to focus on Father and His love. All that He's done for us. All that He's given to us. All that He's made available for us. And when we see that, our hearts melt in gratitude, in love, in response to that. Walk in love, walk as children of light, and walk circumspectly. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have loaded us with benefits. You crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You've loved us with an everlasting love. We are able to love you because you first loved us. And Lord, you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You've called us out of stumbling into being able to walk in the light. You've called us out of all of our own self-centeredness to being able to walk in your love and to share your love with those around us. You've called us out of foolishness and wandering and stupidity to walk with our focus on you, O Lord. We thank you. We pray, God, that you help us. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus on you and the wonderful way that you love us and care for us, and to respond accordingly. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.